Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please open our ears. Give us understanding as Paul prayed. Help us to understand the Word of God that's going to be preached today. Please touch the hearts. Please help your people. And Lord, further, for all of my listeners, give them help in their everyday life. Encourage them, show them what to do and how to conduct their affairs. Heal them if they're sick or somebody in their family or whatever is sick. Please take care of them. Lord, please watch over your children. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon is "The Entrance of Thy Words Giveth Light." This sermon is in four sections. I'll hopefully be able to preach the first section today. It's in 2 Kings chapter 22, and I've preached that message before. And in fact, the title of that message, which you can find on my website, is "I Have Found the Book of the Law," and it's from verse 8, again from 2 Kings chapter 22. I'm going to give more commentary today than I normally give. I'm going to talk about politics. I'm going to talk about Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Black Lives Matter, and if those subjects make you mad, then go watch Charles Stanley or something. Again, this is not something I normally do, but the Bible speaks to our time. It gives us advice and counsel regarding the things that we see on our TV every night. So again, Lord, please help me as I preach what I believe you've given me to say. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. That's the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And in verse 2, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left." I'm reminded of when Saul, whose name was changed later to Paul, Paul the Apostle, I'm reminded of when he was called by God, the Damascus Road experience. But it begins in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, and I guess through verse 16 or so. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah, or Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he may receive his sight. God told Ananias to go to a street that was called Straight. We've heard of the straight and narrow. That's actually from another verse. But this street was not curved. It was a straight street. And God wants us to do as Josiah did. He didn't turn to the right hand nor to the left. And Jesus also warned us of that. And I'm sure that the apostles, the epistle writers also said, hey, walk straight. Don't walk a crooked path. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter into the straight gate. And that's a different word, straight, not ght, but ait. The straight gate. And the definition there is not that it's not curvy, but that it's closed in and difficult to pass, because for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight or constricted is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Here in South Louisiana, a lot of people go to church. Now, a lot more don't. But a lot of people go to church, and South Louisiana is a Catholic region. Up in North Louisiana and Texas and what have you, that's the Baptist belt. But this is the Catholic belt, if you will. A lot of people go to church, but you listen to me, not a lot of people are saved. Jesus said it right here. Straight or constricted is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. It's not enough to say, hey, I go to church every Sunday or Saturday night or whatever. It's not enough. It's not enough to say, well, I attend the Zoom Bible study every Thursday. It's not enough. It's not enough. You've got to do as Josiah and follow the way of David, his father, and to do what's right in the sight of God, and to don't turn left or right. And there's more, and we'll get to it in a second. But Isaiah 35, verse 8, and there shall be a highway there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though they be fools, they shall not err therein. You can be simple-minded. You can have dropped out of high school to go get a job or whatever. You can be ignorant. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be smart. But if you'll walk with God, and you'll walk in holiness, God will help you. And you'll not go wrong if you follow God. Holiness. To obey the Bible. To do right. To be kind. To forgive, etc. To do the right thing, as a servant of God should. The way of holiness. And again, I'll go back to that street called straight. You need to walk a straight path with God. But let's go back to Ananias. He said, I don't want to do this. This is the guy that persecuted all the Jews in Jerusalem, and he's got letters, and he's going to come and kill people and whatever. I don't want to pray for him. I don't want to have anything to do with him, Lord. But God said, go. I've chosen him. I've chosen Saul of Tarsus to be an apostle, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I shall show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God called them to be an apostle. He probably wrote half the New Testament. But he suffered. He was beaten 3 times within an inch of his life, 39 stripes, what have you. He was shipwrecked. He was overboard. The ship sank, and for a day and a half, I think it was, he was bobbing around hoping to find land. He was in prison. And when God called him to be an apostle, he showed him in a vision the things that he must suffer for my name's sake, God said. No one preaches suffering anymore. No one. Every itching ear wants to hear about their best life today. Nobody preaches suffering, and nobody wants to suffer. But all they that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you do like Ananias and obey God when he speaks, if you do like Josiah and do the things that are right in the sight of the Lord, you shall suffer some form of persecution or slight or mocking or what have you. You say something on Facebook and you may get an earful. You may say something to somebody at Rouse's or whatever and people look at you weird. But if you're going to live for God, it's not going to be a bed of roses. Again, God said to Saul, you want to believe in me? You want to obey me? I'll put you in ministry. You can be an apostle, but this is what you're going to have to suffer. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 31. Then Peter began to say unto him, Jesus, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but that he should receive 100 more now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. If you leave things, leave your family, leave the world to follow the Lord, God will add these things back to you with persecutions. With persecutions. And in the world to come, you'll have everlasting life. But he said, many that are first shall be last, and the last first. It's not the bishop. It's not the televangelist. It's not the pastor that's going to be first in line to get into heaven. They can go. But those that are barely hanging on, those that can't get a good job, those that are on relief, those that have to pedal a bicycle to church like I used to do back in the 80s, the little guy is going to go to heaven first, and the pastor, he's going to patiently wait his turn at the end of the line. And when God passes out his reward in heaven, the little guy is going to get his first. Because God cares for the little ones. Again, our idea of success in life is completely contrary to God's idea of success in the kingdom of God. We've got it all wrong. And Jesus talked about that when the disciples, they were arguing about who should be first in the kingdom of heaven. And he rebuked them and he said, No, you want to be first? You want to be chief? You want to be great? Then find somebody and serve them. Help him. Lift him up. Help him to go before you. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The message that I'm preaching today, that the church used to preach all the time decades ago, this is the way to eternal life. This is the way to follow God. This is how to make God pleased. To consider others better than yourselves, the apostle said. Again, contrary, completely, totally opposite what the world says is success. You remember the woman at the well? In John chapter 4? Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me? In other words, give me a drink of water out of that well. And I'm a Samaritan woman. You know that the Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. You guys look down on us. You call us half-breeds, what have you. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. And she received him. She accepted him. And God changed her life. And when she realized that she had been talking to the Messiah, she dropped her water pot, her bucket, and went into town and said, Hey, y'all come see a man. Y'all come see a man. And they came out and they also believed upon him. He has the water of life. He will satisfy your soul. And once your soul's satisfied, you need to go tell others so that they too can drink of the water that Jesus gives. But back to King Josiah. And again, I've preached this message before. I won't get through all of it, but it says that in the 18th year of his kingdom, he told the guy Shaphan and what have you, Azaliah, Hey, y'all go into the house of God, the temple, and y'all get things straightened up, and y'all go get the money that's been coming in, you know, count the offering, what have you. Go take care of church business. And he did that. And in verse 8, And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of God. That is a profound statement. On Josiah's watch for 18 years, he had been doing the king stuff, and the priest, the high priest, had been doing the church stuff. For 18 years. And then they go in to tidy up and to count the money and what have you. And they stumble across a copy of the Bible. Now, not the whole Bible, but certainly the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, certainly, maybe the Psalms. They stumble across the Bible and begin to thumb through it, and God pricks their heart. And they went to the king, Josiah, and they said, Hey, we did that, right? We counted all the money. But look, we found the Bible in the church, in the closet or cabinet somewheres. And they read it to the king, and it says that he rent his clothes, which is a Jewish sign of repentance. At a Jewish funeral, they will still do that today. They will rend their clothes. Repentance and anguish and humility, what have you. It's profound. It's profound. But in churches today, they do all the things. They have the choir and they take the offering and they do this and they, every year maybe they elect the deacons or whatever. But there's not a lot of Bible that's preached. That's an astounding statement. After 18 years, they stumble upon the Bible in church. Repentance. Repent. When he rent his clothes, that's a sign of repentance and anguish and conviction of sin. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. And John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. Luke chapter 24, the Great Commission, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John chapter 16, don't have time to go through it all, but it talks about when the Holy Ghost came or would come, and he came on the day of Pentecost. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God sent the Holy Ghost to the church to convict the heart of the sinner, of sin, the things he's done wrong, of righteousness, that, hey, you ought to be following God and looking to him and doing right, and of judgment. Because if you don't do right, you'll be judged and found wanting and end up in hell. But it says the Holy Ghost in verse 14 would glorify Jesus Christ, and Jesus preached repentance. Again, when we find the Bible, or as you hear the Bible preached today, or maybe later on in an hour or so when you go to church, the Word of God should do something in your heart. And there should be a rending. There should be an awe of God, His holiness, His majesty. And there should be a sense of shame in our hearts because we fail to follow God. But in verse 12 and 13 of 2 Kings, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiram the son of Shaphan, and Abchor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ashiah the servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. Again, they stumbled across the Bible in church. They began to read it. It convicted their hearts. They felt ashamed of the way they lived because they hadn't been living right. And then the king said, look, you guys go to the temple. Go pray for us. Because the book says that if we don't live right, that God's wrath and judgment and displeasure is going to be turned upon us. Again, when you begin to read the Bible, or when you begin to attend church, or what have you, fine, You hear about the good things of God, how God forgives, His mercy. You might hear of divine healing. You might hear the good things, but there's also the bad. Behold the goodness and severity of God. And there is judgment. There's judgment coming. Fine, we may be Christians, but what about the lost? What about those that don't know God? Judgment is on its way. And we'll pick it up here next week. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.